Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 21st, 2014. And with me today, I have the always exciting Brian Chaffin. Hey, Brian.
Honk.
Or the honk-able Brian Chaffin. And I'm assuming the not honk-able John Martellaro. Hey, John.
And conk.
Or maybe you are honkable. Now I know.
Now you know, man.
And really, yep. It's all about the more you know.
Yeah, until you ask.
Yeah, and clearly I should have asked. Yeah. Hey, speaking of asking, and what I'm doing right there is setting up a segue that hopefully is up to your standards, Brian. Speaking of asking, Apple asked Judge Lucy Koh to add $16 million to the money that Samsung needs to pay them for the win that they had in the 2012 mobile device patent infringement trial.
What the beep is wrong? Beep is a beep. I don't notice the beep. It's completely a beep.
It's like you read the transcript. So anyhow, Apple wants this extra $16 million because they feel that Samsung should have to pay their legal costs. And so Samsung told Judge Koh, nuh-uh. And Judge Koh said, you know what, Samsung, you're right. And even though there are all these compelling reasons why you ought to pay Apple's $16 million attorney bill, you don't have to. And the reason being is because Apple can't prove that the iPhone was already famous when you copied its design.
I completely got the timing wrong on my beep fest because that's when it should come in. But so I do not understand what is wrong with Judge Koh.
I'm verklempt as well.
Yeah, I'm confused on this one myself, and I've been mulling it over all morning, and the only thing I can come up with, and I am totally grasping here, is that Samsung managed to convince Judge Koh that even though they copied Apple's designs, that they were coming up with the same design independently by coincidence, well ahead of the introduction of the original iPhone.
And never mind what the jury said.
And the fact that, the jury said Apple or Samsung copied Apple's design.
And never mind what Samsung's own internal records show.
Right. And never mind that Judge Koh agreed with the jury's ruling that Samsung blatantly copied Apple's design.
I think Judge Koh has been in over her head on this case from the get-go.
You know, there's some things that Judge Koh has done that I did like. For instance, she was pretty much a no-nonsense judge through all of this. And when Samsung or Apple would overstep their bounds and try and abuse the system, she would give them the smackdown.
Yeah, she did keep control of her court, and kudos for doing so when you have some very, very high-powered A-type lawyers that are with, you know, two very, very wealthy companies. Yeah, so kudos to her for that. But, I mean, like, for instance, her refusal to let all of Apple's patent infringement charges be handled in one case. Right, that is part and parcel of the fact that each of these little cases, with only a handful of patents, the juries and Judge Koh herself. That's funny typo. Judge Koh herself has tended to find that the, you know, like four or five patents weren't enough for people to choose, you know, to choose these competing products, right? Well, the only reason why Apple was only pursuing four and five and six and seven patents at a time is because Judge Koh wouldn't let them pursue all of them. And when you make a case where here's 100 patents that they've violated and that these are why customers have chosen these infringing products, well, now it suddenly becomes a much more obvious situation. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, recasting the judicial situation to the advantage of one side or the other is apparently what happened, right? Recasting it.
Well, it was recast, but I don't think that Judge Coe did that to favor one side or the other. I think she did it to make the cases more manageable for herself and potentially for juries.
Yeah, which ended up hurting the victim here, which is Apple.
Yeah, I
greatly.
Yeah, this judicial system didn't do the job it was supposed to do because of the complexities of the issues.
Yeah, the $1 billion, the almost $1 billion, it's actually under $1 billion that Apple won from the first case, is who cares about the $1 billion? Apple did that. The $1 billion doesn't really mean much of anything to Apple. The entire point that Apple was pursuing all along was to get Samsung to stop copying Apple's intellectual property.
And so far, Apple has failed spectacularly at that, despite getting some big wins.
Well, Samsung has done what Samsung has done in several markets. They've willfully infringed. They've lost in court. But they used the infringement period to gain a foothold that they would not have been able to gain without infringing. And then they lessen the infringement. I think that there is no doubt that the, you know, Samsung Galaxy S4 and the Samsung Galaxy S5 are not physical copies of Apple devices. And Samsung has also stopped making its skinned version of Android look as much like iOS as it used to. But Samsung would never have been at the point that it was at. Remember, the Samsung had less than 1% of the smartphone market before it made the decision to willfully copy Apple.
That's true.
It was copying Apple that gave Samsung legitimacy in the eyes of consumers. And that was what propelled Samsung to become the number one Android vendor and to be the number two smartphone vendor in terms of profits and the number one in terms of units.
Well, that was the original court case. Didn't they have that fabulous poster board where it showed Samsung phones before the iPhone, then the iPhone in the middle, and then it showed all the Samsung phones after the iPhone, and all of a sudden they looked alike?
Yeah, that was the first case.
And that was a very compelling image.
Yes.
Yeah. So this latest decision is just insult injury. Again, the $16 million doesn't mean anything to either company. I mean, don't get me wrong. $16 million is a lot of money, but when you have more than $100 billion in the bank, or when you have tens of billions of dollars in the bank, as the case was with Samsung, $16 million doesn't mean anything, but this is just yet another insult heaped upon Apple, who is the company who was copied, who was infringed upon. It is a mystifying decision. I am not an attorney. I don't think any of us are. A couple of us may have played one on stage.
It's very possible.
This is a mystifying decision. It is a completely mystifying decision.
And the thermonuclear war has turned into a firecracker.
Yeah, with the firecracker with the big price tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Apple's wins are becoming more and more hollow every day.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay, on that happy note, another topic that I wanted to take a look at, which kind of fits in with the whole theme because it's Android-ish. John, you have spent an amazing amount of time diving deep into Amazon's new smartphone.
I have been living with an Amazon Fire Phone now for over 2 weeks. And the story here is that this is a nice phone. I liked it. I wouldn't mind keeping it. It's on the AT&T system, so that's where I am too.
Wait. You wouldn't mind keeping it. Would you trade your iPhone in for it?
No. I would not. And the review just went live a few minutes ago, and I said it's not in the same league as the iPhone. But what's interesting about it is that it has so many nice features, and it's so tasteful, and there's so many little things that it does that I don't like about the iPhone, and probably the developers didn't either, such as keeping the email address spelled out in the emailer. and keeping the URL spelled out in the SOAP browser, and other little things that are technical about it, and the look and the feel, and even like the Firefly features, and the carousel is so cool. Carousel's neat. It's where you bring up a sideways list, sort of like cover flow, of each app, and then below each app is a list of interesting and relevant things that happened. So if you bring up your Firefly, it shows you a list of things that you identified. If you bring up email, it brings up a list below of the emails that just transacted. If you bring up the camera, swipe right and left to bring up the camera, say, then below it is a list of the photos you recently took. And I think that's really kind of cool and kind of innovative and demonstrates that, you know, some interesting and innovative things can be done by other companies. The phone has a 4.7-inch display, and I really like 4.7 inches. When you lay it next to the iPhone seems kind of small and cramped. And this phone fits in my hand very nicely. Sure, it's 5.5 ounces instead of 4, but that doesn't bother me. It's sleek. It's black. It's bright. It's well laid out. The GUI looks nice and has some innovative features. And I kind of like the phone in that sense. But in the end, you know, it doesn't have a 64-bit processor. It doesn't have the motion coprocessor. It doesn't have Touch ID. It doesn't have hardware encryption. So
how about the graphics front, John?
To encrypt, it takes an hour to encrypt your Fire Phone.
How about the graphics front?
What do you mean?
Well, my assumption is that the Fire Phone can't touch the iPhone's graphics, especially 3D graphics. Processing on the processing side.
Well, I didn't delve into that. I mean, it's a flat display unless you do the dynamic perspective.
No, I'm talking about for 3D game for games.
Ah, now I'm not a game person, so I didn't evaluate it with respect to many of the games.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
you know, John, there was one part of the review that as soon as I hit it, I was like, okay, this is not a sexting phone. And that was the part where you talked about how the cameras are essentially constantly recording.
In the Firefly mode, if you press the Firefly button on the side and you hold it down, it'll start recording audio and video and trying to pick up things. If it identifies something, it'll log it and it'll help you buy it. For example, if you scan a QR code or a barcode. If you keep on scanning around the room, for example, looking for something, as I tested it with, it will continue to record, and it sends that information up to the Amazon cloud where it's not associated with your user ID, and it's just there as video raw data for Amazon to do testing on. So one of the things you want to do when you're done with Firefly is to, like the iPhone, double-click the home button, swipe Firefly upwards, and kill the app. It's probably wise to be careful where you point it and what you do with it. data that's not logged, that's not when it doesn't recognize an object, that raw data is not anymore associated with your user ID. It's just used for research.
But Amazon keeps it, but they're not tying it to your ID.
Right.
Right.
And I'm assuming a lot of people that get this phone won't think to turn Firefly off after they've used it.
That's why I explained in the article the mechanism to kill an app.
All right, John, I know we're running out of time, but one of the things that I think that Amazon has done really, really right is Mayday. So yes. Can you tell us about that?
Exactly. Mayday is fabulous. I had a little trouble with the Wi-Fi on the system, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to check it out. You just go to the help at the bottom. You come right up with a yellow button. You connect. Amazon says less than 15 seconds, as I recall. It took me less than 10. James came right up in a little window in the bottom of the phone. It's about a centimeter square, but it's big enough to see his face. I can see him. He cannot see my face. Ooh. He cannot see me. He can only see the phone display. He has an image of my phone on his computer display. He can draw on my display. He can take control of the phone. If he needs to see the photos or take control, he has to ask explicit permission. I have to verbally acknowledge, yes, you can take control of my phone. Yes, you can look at photos. And he will do troubleshooting. He can draw on the screen, which I showed in the review. He can take control of operate the phone. He can download log files that he can pass on to the development team for analysis. He can circle things on the screen to prompt me to check, to walk me through a process I may not be sure about. And it's all free and it's all part of the service. And it worked very nicely.
That is a killer customer service feature. And my thought on this has always been that if Amazon could do it right, that it was going to be a fantastic thing. And it sounds like they're doing it right.
I was very impressed. But then, you know, they don't have, Amazon doesn't have a global chain of retail stores where you can walk in and talk to a genius. So this, in perspective, you know, it's an attempt to try to make up for that process of Amazon not having retail stores.
Yeah, they do have plenty of cloud services that are quite frankly state of the art. So this is their way of overcoming that lack of retail stores.
Yeah, yeah, and it worked very well and it's well implemented. And I'm impressed with the operability and the sophistication of it out of the box. You know, this is their first phone, and you know, I asked the agent if he could see my account information and see the ID of my phone. He said yes. So, you know, they've really put together a first-class system out of the gate.
All right. So you would like to keep it, but you wouldn't trade your iPhone for it. Who would you recommend it to?
I'd recommend it for people who are perhaps, I was talking to my wife about this earlier, perhaps people in supply departments where they're buying supplies for their company and they want to be able to walk into the back shelves and shoot a photo of some chemicals and order them, or some printer paper or something like that. You know, if you're responsible for maintaining a shopping environment, it's great. If you perhaps don't like Apple and their ecosystem, and I guess there are one or two people on the planet who don't like Apple, maybe they would prefer to have a really nice phone with some cool features. And they don't need Touch ID, for example, for fingerprint recognition and authentication. Then it's a pretty nice phone. It's equivalently priced. They start at 32 gig, and in some plans on AT&T, for example, the 2-year contract, it's $199, and you get 32 gig instead of 16 gig. The phone is fast. It did get warm in my hands. I never felt an iPhone warm in my hand. This one did when it was stressed, something I was surprised about. But it's so tasteful. And Android is Jelly Bean 422. It's based on so pleasantly cool and geeky and technical. And this phone tends to reveal information to you that you might be interested in, as opposed to tending to suppress information for simplicity. And I liked that from a technical perspective.
Right. Okay, cool. And
get a room. I kid.
All right, so it sounds like what you're saying, John, is that this is not a replacement for the iPhone, but for some people it may be a viable alternative to the iPhone, and that bodes well for Amazon.
Absolutely. We don't know how well it'll be received in the market. One negative that I had to mention in the review is that you can't run Google Maps on it, that you can't access the Google Play Store. And Amazon does their own maps because presumably, from what I read, they don't want Google to know where you've been. They want to know where you've been. And so if there was one feature that might cause people to cross this off their list, if they was concerned about maps, that would be a problem, not having Google Maps, which is a first-class standard. On the other hand, if you're not a map person, you're not using it for navigation, you're using it around the office, you know, it's great. And it has control over app location access to your position. So you can tell apps, no, you can't know my location. So it has that feature. Awesome. It has software encryption instead of hardware encryption. It takes an hour to encrypt the phone. Whereas, you know, we're so used to hardware encryption on our phones, it's hardly noticeable. So, but on the other hand, it's their first phone. And out of the box, it's awfully nice.
Cool. All right. Well, we are so out of time. Brian, thank you for joining me. And
oh, yeah.
John, thank you for spending all that time diving into this phone so we have a better idea about what's out there as iPhone competition.
Yeah. And the review was just posted at the Mac Observer. It's called An iPhone Veteran Evaluates an Amazon Fire Phone.
Awesome.
It's huge. It's huge, but it's very good.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, and we'll have to do this again soon, like maybe tomorrow.
Hey, see you then.